Russia may sympathize with Viktor Yanukovych, but it appears unlikely that Moscow will actually come to the rescue of the ousted Ukrainian president. Last weekend, a prominent Russian state TV host accused Yanukovych of betraying the Ukrainian people. Dmitry Kisilov is known for his elaborate diatribes against the West. He did, in fact, also criticize the United States and European Union over their roles in the upheaval in Ukraine. But this weekend, he said that Yanukovych was ultimately to blame. Kisilov, who's seen as close to the Kremlin, said Yanukovych turned out to be incapable not only of working out a state strategy, but even of formulating the real national interests of the country. Moscow had been calling for a peace deal that would keep Yanukovych as president until a new election, but Kisilov's comments suggest that's off the table now. The consequences are irreversible, Kisilov said. Not exactly encouraging words for Yanukovych, who proclaimed on Saturday that he was still Ukraine's president. As we said earlier, he's on the run now. Some say he's in Crimea, the peninsula that juts out into the Black Sea. It's a part of Ukraine with deep ties to Russia. In fact, Russia still keeps a naval base there that was once home to the Soviet Black Sea Fleet. Some residents of Crimea even want to secede from Ukraine. Time magazine's Simon Schuster just spent 2 days reporting in this region by the Black Sea. He says that while we don't know for sure if Yanukovych is there, it would certainly be a friendly place for him to hide.
Well, Crimea is the only region of the country where the revolution has so far failed to take hold. Its ethnic makeup is distinctive in Ukraine because the majority of the population are ethnic Russians. So the loyalty to Moscow is often greater among the population there than it is to Kyiv.
Right. I mean, those rumors about secession, how real are they?
They're really only real in the city of Sevastopol, which is a very unique island of Russian nationalism. That Russian military base houses about 25,000 troops. It's a major military installation, and a good chunk, if not the majority of the population of the city, has family ties to the troops and also ties of friendship. So they are very upset and quite panicked at the revolution in Kyiv, which is a revolution that is quite anti-Russian.
Right. So you've got that kind of lean in to Moscow in Crimea. I mean, if you look at a map, it's about as far away from Kyiv as you can get and still stay in Ukraine. That might keep it insulated from any upheaval in Kyiv. How hardwired are those Soviet era roots in Crimea?
I mean, they run really deep, and it's not just Soviet. It goes back to the Russian Empire. And the people there really don't like the idea of any nationalist coming into power in Kyiv and telling them that they can't teach Russian in schools and implementing various laws that would, again, pull Ukraine and the Crimea towards Europe and away from Russia.
So given all these ties to Russia, what do you think the chances are of Russia intervening in the area?
I think the chances are still pretty small. So basically now Russia has an opportunity, just as it did in Georgia in 2008, to say, hey, hold on, we have Russian-speaking citizens. Some of them are actual Russian citizens who are in danger in Sevastopol, and we need to come in and make sure they're safe from the extremists and terrorists, as the Russian media and officials have put it, who have come into power in Kyiv. So they have that excuse, they have that pretext, and they have used that before. But I think considering the economic crisis that Ukraine faces right now, the new government, when they do come to power and they do establish some kind of order in Ukraine, they're going to have a hard time maintaining their popularity. So I think Russia's probably more inclined to take the longer view and say, let's see how they go for the next, you know, 2 or 3 years. And they may come around after all. Then again, you know, they might seek to take more aggressive measures. So far, the signals have been pretty unclear from Moscow.
It's an interesting kind of change of fortunes for Moscow, which was looking at Sochi, you know, like 48 hours ago, and suddenly things change. I mean, your own outlet, Simon, Time magazine, pulled you, like a lot of reporters, out of Sochi to get to Ukraine and follow what's going on there. And what's been the change of mood, climate, focus all been like for you?
I think a lot of the reporters in Sochi were mentally in Kyiv as soon as the violence broke out last week. We were all watching the live streams of the revolution in the press center in Sochi.
Time magazine's Simon Schuster speaking with us from Kyiv.